the beginning of creation, we know that God created all the land animals, all the birds of the sky, and all the fish in the sea, even the big sea monsters. And he had Adam name them all. Animals are mentioned throughout the Bible. Today we hear about oxen and foxes and birds. In other books, we hear about wolves and leopards, goats, calves, lions, cobras, vipers, dolphins, sparrows, and all the water creatures. And of course, there are sheep and lambs and goats and all the domestic animals. But what do you think Jesus' favorite animal is? Now, some of you may say, well, it's a lamb, of course, the Lamb of God. Maybe. But maybe it's sheep, since he is, after all, the Good Shepherd. Or maybe it's a colt, since it was a colt who carried him into Jerusalem. Or maybe it's a whale, because they have the largest of hearts. Their hearts can weigh up to 500 pounds. Or maybe an owl, because it's the wisest. I'm sure that it's not a mosquito. In fact, I don't know why God made mosquitoes. But I think it's a giraffe, and I'll explain why in a few minutes. In today's gospel, Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem for the last time. Along the way, he meets three men who heard his call to follow him. And in each of these encounters, Jesus teaches us a tough lesson about what that call really means. First of all, to follow Christ, we have to rethink our ideas about what it means for our security. We have to transfer those feelings of security from ourselves to God. Give up those feelings that we have of security and trust in our faith in the truth and lasting security of Jesus. And that means unlearning the lesson that we learn most of our life, that we should rely on ourselves through our efforts, through our skills, through our talents, that it's all about me and my success. Instead, we must learn to rely wholly on God, offering up all our efforts to his divine providence. That's what Jesus means when he says, "Foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." We know our Lord is trustworthy, but we certainly know that he's not predictable. He refuses to give us an outline of how our lives are going to play out in advance. We have to move with him one step at a time, one day at a time, to trust in him completely. Because accepting God's friendship means we must live under his leadership and his guidance and stop pretending that we can control our own lives. Foxes and birds, in fact, have security of their instincts and their habitats. But we Christians are on an unpredictable adventure. We simply don't know where God is going to lead us and what he's going to ask us to do. We, in essence, must give him a blank check for our lives. The second tough lesson that we learned today is that we must persevere through the difficulties in life. Setting our hands on the plow and not turning back, not even looking back. We want to follow Christ, we are going to experience difficulties. And sometimes it will be hard. But sometimes we only focus on the good things it means to be a Christian, a sense of mission and purpose, the blessings that God wants to give us, the forgiveness of our sins and peace. And those are real blessings and graces, and we shouldn't ignore them, and we should be grateful for them. But that's not the whole story. We live in a fallen and broken world, and through our baptism, we declare ourselves to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. In a sense, we have lost our citizenship on this earth. We are aliens. We are immigrants. Refugees, if you will, waiting to return home to heaven, our true home for eternity. The earth is no longer ours. And the closer we get to Christ, the more we realize that truth, the more we experience sufferings and realize its imperfections. Jesus only came to Easter Sunday by passing through Good Friday, and as Christians, we should expect nothing less. Once we decide to follow Jesus, there will be times that we feel like turning back because it's hard. But a farmer can't plow a field if he looks back. the road will be crooked, and it will not be done correctly, and he will veer off course. And if we look back, we may lose our place in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus loves us too much to force us. He'll never force us. He'll never impede our freedom. It must be our choice, always our choice. And he wants us to understand that truth, no exceptions. And that brings us to the third tough lesson today that he teaches us. And that means to be truly free, we must take risks and do it with a sense of urgency. Let the dead bury the dead means leaving behind our own plans, stepping outside of our comfort zones, putting all our eggs into one basket, his basket. Now we're coming up to Independence Day in a few days, July 4th, the celebration of our freedom as a nation. And so freedom may be especially on our minds this week, but freedom in Christ is a much different concept than the freedom of our nation. Even our founding fathers knew this. George Washington said this in his farewell address. He said, "While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of our religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. If all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports of it." And Thomas Jefferson, "God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice will not sleep forever." But what does it mean to be truly free as a Christian? Does it mean that we can do whatever we want, whenever we want, with whoever we want? Throughout our lives, we've often thought that a time will come that we'll be free, free from authority, free to do whatever we wish. Maybe we went to college and we thought it was going to be easier than high school, be free from our parents, only to find out that the studies were difficult and it's certainly much more expensive. Or maybe we got our driver's license and said, "This is great, I can finally be free to come and go as I please." And then you realize you have to pay for gas and insurance and maintenance, and maybe you need to get a job. So much for that freedom. Or maybe married couples, they take on that deep responsibility to be for someone else, and their actions must be to care for that person, to try to get that person to heaven. And then children come, and we have a much deeper responsibility, that selfless love. We realize truly that it's not about me. And then married couples think that when the kids are gone, they'll finally be free to go do what they want. And then our parents get sick, and we experience health problems with loved ones. We still have to work hard. And then we retire, and maybe we think then we'll be free, free to travel, free to do whatever we wish. But our own health may limit, or the health of our spouses. There's always some force or some authority in our life that limits our freedom. But Christians don't define freedom in that way. We are at our happiest when we're at our best. And we're at our best when we are who God made us to be. Sure, we have responsibilities. And yes, there are things that limit our freedom on this earth. But St. Paul tells us today in the second reading, "For freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. For you were called for freedom, brothers and sisters. But do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And St. Paul isn't just speaking about the flesh as it relates to sexual immorality, but that is a good example. I know people that go on these dating sites and they look for a companion who is handsome or beautiful. And they think, well, let's test that out. Let's sleep together. Maybe we'll see if we're sexually compatible. Maybe let's move in together before we're married. But living loose is not freedom. In fact, it makes us incapable of making a lasting commitment to one another. Or maybe we embrace a sinful life to spite someone else. I'm going to do what I want because so-and-so said I can't. I'll show them. It's my body. I'll do what I want with it. But instead, we end up being incapable of being who God truly made us to be. We're chained to our sins. Christ sets us free. We need to treasure that freedom, and we need to treasure our lives in Him. But that takes courage. It takes determination. We can't just say we're Christian. We have to be determined to live a Christian life. Christianity isn't something that we do. It's not a bunch of things. It's who we are. It's a person. It's a face. It's the one who gave His life for us. He may say to you, tell me, who is the most important person in your life? And you may answer, well, of course it's my father, or my spouse, or my children. And don't be surprised if he says to you, if you don't put everyone ahead of me, you can't be one of my followers. And at that point, it may be an understandable fear that we might hesitate following Jesus. We know that He's God, but we may think, if I follow Him, I have to give up everything that's precious to me. And Jesus' answer is, yes. In fact, you have to give up everything for me. But He tells us not to be afraid. Anything that is really that has real worth will be given back to us in its glorified form. If you place Jesus ahead of your parents, you will find out what that relationship with your parents truly was meant to be. And the same goes for if you put Jesus ahead of your spouse, or your children, or your job, or your vacation plans, or your possessions, even your health. They really all belong to Him anyways. And if you try to lay claim on them yourselves, they will not bring you happiness. But if you give them to Jesus, He will help you sort them out by what is most important. Yes, He teaches us some tough lessons today, and He pulls no punches. If you want to follow me, you must trust me. Your journey will be unpredictable. You must stay awake, be focused, and be ready to respond. And now is the time to answer my call. There must be a sense of urgency, so be diligent and decisive, no hesitations. And exercise our freedom in faith for our good and the good of all the souls we encounter in our lives. Our hearts must be strong to respond with authentic love. And that's why I think the giraffe is God's favorite animal. He only sleeps 5 to 30 minutes a day, and they're always on guard, always ready to move. And they can run for long distances faster than even a thoroughbred racehorse, and they have the keenest sense of vision of any land animal on earth. And with their vision and their height, they are always focused on what's in front of them, watching for danger and ready. And lastly, giraffes not only have one of the largest hearts in the animal kingdom, but more importantly, they have the strongest hearts, a heart that can beat 200 beats a minute. And we know that we need strong hearts to persevere. So let's today pray for God's grace, for the wisdom and courage to be the person God calls us to be, to seek authentic freedom.